Thank you very much for the introduction. I'm a statistical Ginevra Bianconi. I'm a statistical mechanic. So in this talk, I will mainly spoke about my expertise, which is statistical mechanics and classical system. But I will tell you about the relation between network, hyperbolic network geometry, and dynamics. So actually, these are two birds, the hummingbird and the songbird, and the biology find them similar in terms of phenotypic structure. And this is an example, also if they are not related by evolutionary lineage. So this is what the biology call convergent evolution. So my message is maybe what I'm doing, which is network theory and superficial complex formulation, has arrived by different paths to study objects that are similar to tensor networks. So I'm here to learn from you what you have done, your research in tensor network, but I'm also very happy to tell you about what we are doing in this other field that can be somewhat related, and I'm here to explore the relation between the two. So of course I'm here because I'm very interested in tensor network, in particular mirror tensor network, which are efficient descriptor of quantum entangled state, and they have this holographic structure, which is actually very very rich, and has and this and show the rich interplay between network geometry and this quantum critical state. And interesting, this object also allow for tensor renormalization group. In my research, I work with this PET model, which are network geometry with flavor. And I'm interested on this object because they can shed light into emergent geometric space. And these objects are actually simplicial complex. They are not just formed by nodal links, but also by triangle, tetrahedra, and so on. And here I want to show you that the rich interplay between network geometry and classical dynamics, which is the dynamics we are putting on top of them, and the fact that actually their deterministic version can allow for the renormalization group, and we will see this on work for intercalation theory. So the outline of the talk is, first I will give you a motivation, a bit of the lineage where this research comes from, what are the questions that the people in statistical mechanics of network are being asked themselves. And then I will cover the main subject of this talk, which is the description of this emergent space for purely combinatorial and stochastic rules. And then the interplaying between this network geometry and dynamics when one looks at percolation or at kind of diffusion dynamics strongly affected by the localization of Eigen mode in these systems. So people have been interested in network since 20 years because there is evidence that the majority of complex systems are actually described by graph. And so these are objects like the internet or protein interaction network or the disosome, and they describe the underlying structure of biological, social, and technological systems. And people are interested in this because they believe that this structure encodes information, so that by extracting information from this network, we can get information about the function of these systems. And interesting, these networks have evolved through stochastic process, but they are not totally random. So there is this complex interplay between randomness and order that makes it complex and makes it interesting for inference problem. So let's step back and see the physics picture before this of a random network. The physics picture is you take a lattice and you retain link only with probability P. Okay? And the mathematics picture of a random graph is that you take a fully connected network and you retain link with probability p. So you start with an object which has less symmetry, only the permutation symmetry, and then you do the same operation. And this is the so-called random graph. But since 20 years, people have been interested in objects that live in the middle of this two-extreme case. And this is a big space. And although this space of possible network is very big, actually, the real network that have been observed live in a very narrow region characterized by universality property. So these networks have been shown to be, despite the variety of application, they has been shown to be scale-free, small world, and they're characterized by community. So let me spend a few small time on this. So universalities conserve, the small world universality conserve the typical distance and also the diameter that both scale like logarithm of n. Maybe they can scale also like log log n, but the typically small world is a diameter that is short. So these are very different from lattices, where this is polynomial. But it's similar to Cayley tree, for example. Like Cayley tree has this diameter going like logarithm.
Sorry, how do you define the diameter?
The maximum of the shortest path between any two nodes. And the shortest path defined as hopping distance. Another property is that these graphs are scale-free, meaning that the degree distribution, so the distribution of the number of links that each node has, is power law with an exponent between 2 and 3 for large k. So we are interested in the asymptotic behavior of this function, which the k has a power law. And this means that this network have an average degree which is well determined. This
and
range
k is the number of
average of k is finite.
K is what?
It's the number of links that a node has. So k is finite. So for instance, for let's say Facebook, everybody has 100 friends or 100 friends, but the fluctuations are infinite. So it's possible to see statistically significant realization in which you have node with order of magnitude more links. And another property is that they have communities, so they have very regions that are more densely connected than other. And this is a field that has shaky mathematical basis, but is very active in terms of algorithm to detect this community. So although we don't have a clear definition of what a community is, there are many algorithms around to detect them.
When is that exponent gamma between 2 and 3? Is this just for the examples that are known, or is there any fundamental reason for that?
You can find network also which are power law with an exponent that beyond this range, but this range is particularly interesting because it allows to have a finite average and infinite fluctuation. So although these graphs are sparse like lattices that everybody has in average four connection or you name it, the fluctuation are very big. So clearly for understanding how these networks are arised, these networks that are not the typically random graph that you can observe by drawing a random network, there are an attempt to model this structure with different methods. The first and one of the most popular is a maximal entropy network. You consider the space of all possible graph, a probability distribution on top of them, and then you do a maximum entropy ensemble given the set of constraints. And you can constrain the degree or the expected degree. There is an interesting class of deterministic models that are these Apollonian networks that will play a central role in this talk, which have particular structure and they are scale free. But and then there is a very popular set of model, including the Barabasi-Albert model, which is non-equilibrium. So it has a power of explaining the emergence of some properties. You know, you have this space of possible graph, and then you want to find a model that generates a graph with, let's say, scale-free degree distribution. This is not occurring easily. It's a very small set of all the possible graphs you can construct, but a non-equilibrium process can lead you there. And this is these are so they have simple rule that can generate this graph. So the maximum entropy graph, you know, is just as I said, you can fix the number of links of each node, and then construct all the possible graph in this way. Very interesting question. You can also do a kind of so-called exponential random graph or canonical network ensemble, in which you fix in average the degree of each node. You draw links fixing in average the degree of each node, a bit like in statistical mechanics, you fix the energy or the average energy. And you can study this ensemble. This is a very interesting model. Happy to talk to you more. And here in this model, there has been a lot of extensive research on in relation between structure and dynamics. And because due to this fact that this graph have an average degree finite and infinite fluctuation, if you have a percolation model that typically has a percolation transition, like in lattices, in scale-free networks, they are always percolating. And if you put the easing model, the classical easing model, you see that these structures sustain always the ferromagnetic state. So the effective temperature goes to infinity for this graph. So this is exactly the opposite of a linear chain in which the system is always disordered. So here in this context, there is a lot of debate about the role of scale-free distribution and the interplay between structure and dynamics. In this talk, we will show actually that natural geometry has additional richer effect on the dynamics. Another model of scale-free graph is this Apollonian network, in which you start from three nodes and you do what you would call a Packner move. So you put a node in the middle and triangulate, and then tessellate farther and farther. So this can be seen as the center of these three Apollonian packing circles, and they are connected if the circles are tangent to each other. And you can do this at libitum, and you find this very regular structure, which is scale-free and has very interesting property. Finally, the non-equilibrium approach that will be central for this talk is an approach in which you assume growth of the network. So the network grows, and at each time step, we add M edges and one node with M edges. And the first assumption you can make, well, I make it grow in this way that the average degree remains finite, exactly M. But then when I attach the new link, I attach it randomly. And the degree distribution, this is one of the objects that is studied. Its main concern about that time was that it is exponential, though, not like scale-free, like many real data sets. And if you have instead what is called preferential attachment that has been proposed in this paper by Barabasi and Albert, in which a link attached to a node proportional to the degree that the node already has, then you generate a scale-free graph. So you have a basic rule that generates these graphs that are very different from the random graph that you could expect in the mathematics approach. So you can, the non-equilibrium can lead you to a system which has a much smaller, and to an ensemble that has much smaller entropy than the space of all possible. Yeah. Okay, so this theory is concerned about modeling, organization, structure, and dynamics, but people have not addressed the concern about a real topological question or geometrical question, while in the brain or in the internet, there is a lot of interest now in characterizing the hidden space or, you know, what is the topology of this network that really generates some manifold, real manifold in the brain, and what is the role of this geometry, how to characterize, and what is the role of this geometry for the dynamics that take place on that. And there has been a lot of interest about hyperbolicity and the role of hyperbolicity of this network for complex network. And there's a lot of this debate about the best measure for curvature for this discrete structure. So, and there are different proposals, including Olivier, Jost, Yao, and Renate Loll for defining a curvature for discrete network structure, but still is a very, very debated issue. Nonetheless, there has been claim that starting from Kleinberg 2007 that hyperbolic network allow for very good navigability property that could be used for routing algorithm in the internet. And actually, more recently in machine learning, this hidden hyperbolic space, so you can think of a network as has been driven by an hidden space such that if two nodes are close in space, they are more it's more probable that they are connected together. And actually, the inference of this hidden space and eventually hidden hyperbolic metric is a very active subject in network science. However, the model that have been explored for this hyperbolic network, they assume always that there is a network. So there is the latent space, which is maybe hyperbolic, and then two nodes connect according to the distance in this space. But actually, the problem that I'm interested on is the problem, a mathematical problem of emergence of geometry. So is there an equilibrium model that is able to generate by equilibrium or non-equilibrium a network that has emergent geometrical property? And in order to address this question, we will use simplicial complexes. So simplicial complexes are generalized network structure, not only formed by node and links, but also triangle, tetrahedra, and so on. So this is a case of pure two-dimensional simplicial complex only formed by triangle. This is an example of pure three-dimensional simplicial complex only formed by tetrahedra. And so these are building blocks. So it's clear that with these building blocks, it's very Lego blocks, is very useful if we want to describe some geometry, some emergent geometry, because already the structure where we start from are geometrical. So we will define some generalized degree for this object. So for instance, for a two-dimensional object, we will define K20 mu of a phase mu, and this is the number of two-dimensional simplices incidence to the node zero simplex mu. So the number of triangle incident to the node mu, or K21 mu, that is the number of triangle incident to the link mu. So for instance, in this case, node 3 will have generalized degree 4, and the link 1-3 will have generalized degree 3 because there are three triangle incident to this link. And here to this node, there are four triangle incident to this node. So you can generalize the idea of degree number of links with a generalized degree number of d-dimensional simplices attached to a given phase. And then we will define the incident number, which will be a useful concept, which is equal to generalized degree minus 1 and is associated to the d minus 1 phase of a d-simplex. So here you have a two-dimensional simplicial complex formed by triangle. And for every link, d minus 1 phase, you have this incident number, so that, for instance, from 1-3 is 3 minus 1 equal to 2. But you see here, in order to build a manifold, I need to impose, and this is a combinatorial constraint, that the incident number of the link is either 0 or 1, either 2 triangle or 1 triangle incident per link. I cannot allow 3 because I will not generate a surface. And this is general for every dimension. In a manifold, I need to have an incident number between 0 and 1. And then I start with a basic model of which I call natural geometry with flavor, which is a non-equilibrium model in which I have growth. So at each time I add a simplex now with one new node attached to the d minus 1 phase. And the probability in which I choose the d minus 1 phase is depending on this flavor, which is a variable between taking value minus 1, 0, and 1. And the probability of attaching to a d minus 1 phase is given by this expression. If I now look closely at this expression, for s minus 1, 0, and 1, I find this expression. So for s equal minus 1, I see that this probability is only positive if the incident number is 0. So if the incident number is 0, I can add a new simplex, V1, but then I cannot add further, and this will generate a manifold. If s is equal to 0, I have uniform attachment. If s is equal to 1, the more simplices are attached to a phase, the more I want, the probability is higher. So this is a kind of preferential attachment. So I can look at now first at this network science interest in the degree distribution. So I see that with preferential attachment, I get this exactly the scale-free BA3. For for uniform attachment, I get the exponential tree, a tree with exponential degree distribution. And for the manifold, I get just a chain. One-dimensional manifold is just a chain. In dimension d equal to 2, also with the uniform attachment, I already get a scale-free graph because I can attach triangle to every link with uniform probability. So I end up attaching a new link to a node proportional to how many links it has. And the manifold is exponential. For dimension d equal to 3, also the manifold becomes scale-free. And this is because you can see this as like three tetrahedra. I have five phases where I can put a new tetrahedra in the manifold. And now when I touch a new tetrahedra there, I have six phases. So it's increasing the probability to attach new tetrahedra to this node. So it is again an emergent preferential attachment. And so this degree distribution can be found analytically with the exact asymptotic result. And actually, it is not only scale free in d equal to 3, the manifold, but in all dimensions greater than 2. So you have this clear picture. And it really goes very well with simulation result. And actually, you can calculate also the generalized degree distribution, which follow this very regular pattern in term of flavor and dimension of the phase. So actually, we have looked at this object topologically, but actually we can assign a geometry if we assign a length to the link, and if we assign the same length to all the links, we get this hyperbolic network. This is in D equal to 2, which are clearly connected with this Peyre sequence. So here you have the initial triangle, and then you attach a triangle randomly, one after the other one. So this is exactly the same topology you've seen in previous picture, but just now is revealing the geometry that is emerging there. And all the nodes are at the boundary, you see? So this object can be seen as a two-dimensional simplicial complex, but actually you can see that all the nodes are on one dimension and they have long-range interrupt. So you can do the same for 3D. So you start with the tetrahedra, maybe here it's not very visible. All the nodes are in the boundary of this hyperbolic space. And then you attach tetrahedra one. Here I say you have equal length for all the link, but actually you pay the cost that this length is infinity because these are ideal triangles. And actually, if you just now play the thing and look at the network on the surface of this sphere, you know, because the nodes are all on the surface of this sphere, the links are all active, so they all connect nodes that are on the surface of the sphere. So if you just project this on a plane, you don't lose any information at the level of the network of node and links, but you lose information about the volume and the triangular phase.
So could you say in what context you get this geometry? Because initially the distance was finite. Now you have to take...
Yes.
Even though you won't get nodes on the boundaries, they will be in the bulk of your network.
Yes, but this...
So, it's a particular...
It's a way to represent this graph. But this emergent geometry is the only way, I believe, that allows you to fill entirely the space in the infinite limit. If you just allow them to have... they are small words, so the diameter grows logarithmically with the network size, so you cannot embed in any finite dimension. If the distance is finite and constant for every link, and if you want to embed in a hyperbolic space, this is the putting the node at the boundary is the only way in which this can fill the entire space eventually, the infinite.
So I guess I'm asking.
So another way to put it, another way to put it is that this is a non-equilibrium dynamics, but actually it resonates with what I said, how I start the talk. So it seems like a growth on an infinite hyperbolic lattice that is the regular lattice. So you imagine you.
I guess the question is that you started with regular tetrahedra, and now you're having ideal.
So this object, if you forget about the randomness and you allow them to grow deterministically, is a very well-known hyperbolic. So in some way, I didn't know when I started this project, but in some way I'm describing a growth on this lattice. So it's like the network, also if there is nothing written there in the rules, but as the rules of this symmetric lattice. And actually what I'm doing is just I'm percolating, drawing on this structure. Without knowing. I mean, because the rule, maybe they have hidden some symmetry, but it's not clear.
You're obtaining these graphs by assigning a length to each side of the simplex, right? Of the two simplex? Because they start, you can also define them to be Euclidean.
Yes. So if you want, you can interpret this as a Euclidean object, but in the same ball, but you have to pay the cost that the length of the link is not equal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here you're imposing that to see this in this picture.
Yes. That, yes.
Okay. And the topology
is the same. It's the same. The topology is the same. But if you assign the length carefully in such a way that you change, you know, in this long range and small range link, you can draw this also in an Euclidean space. But, you know, you will not have, everything changes because also you don't have any more, and this is something in this direction. So you take this 3D space and the position of the node in this on the surface, and then you project on an Euclidean plane, you find this Apollonian packing. So here, the length of the link is different. So this is the connection with the Apollonian packing. So while the Apollonian network is thought to be spatial and associated with two dimensions, here we have a model that is is actually a three-dimensional simplicial complex that leads to this structure. So it leads to this geometry, although there is no space associated to the rule of the game.
Ginesta, so you say that you are generating some geometry which is hyperbolic.
Mm-hmm.
But so you have these rules to grow the network, and at the end, in some limit, would you get something as close to hyperbolic geometry as you wanted, or?
It is a random hyperbolic geometry. Yeah.
The random hyperbolic geometry.
Yeah. So I'm also interested on this line graph. So substituting to each triangle a node, and then connecting the nodes if they share a link. And actually, if you have this manifold, you see here in 2D, the line graph is a tree. So this will be connected with tree structure. And actually, this tree, for instance, for the Apollonian graph can be associated to every phase of the Apollonian graph, and they are like in 3D you have this dual graph, so you can assume to have a variable associated to the phase, and then you have this this line graph of the same objects that I'm describing before. And actually, the randomness I'm talking about is kind of this picture in which you have a random growing structure, like this Apollonian graph, or NGF, the surface. And then the line graph is not a regular tree, but is this. So these objects are like generalization of trees. They're in which you, because the line graph is a tree. Okay. So So I want to show you that actually you see this graph grow with this logarithmic grow of the diameter. They are small words, but actually there are some transitions that can happen, and you can realize this from this picture. So in a very weird case, it could be that this tree only grows in one direction, and then you will lose this diameter growing like the logarithm of the number of nodes, because it will become a chain. Okay? And this is what happens if the grow is not like I described, completely random, but if you associate some quench variable to the phase. So there's a long story around this quench variable, which we call energy, but let's say people are interested in this energy of the node, and that can describe some quality of the node or things like this. And you assign them to the nodes. And actually, for the simplicial complexes, you can assign them to the links or the triangles. And you can define a network geometry with flavor that now takes into account also the energy of the node. So you attach a new simplex not only with this rule that is combinatorial, that describe if you want a manifold or not, but also according to this Boltzmann factor that will tell you that you want to connect two phases that have a low energy. And beta is a parameter, so if beta is equal to zero, you are recast in the original model. If beta is infinite, this role of this energy plays important, is more important. So if you look at the geometry, what changes if you are in dimension d equal to 2? This network grows in all directions, more or less uniformly. But when you increase beta, so lower the temperature, something happens, and the grow goes in one direction only. And similarly in 3D, so high temperature phase, more or less homogeneous, but then it can choose one direction and grow there. And so if you look, for instance, at the diameter, so for low temperature, you have the diameter as a function of time growing logarithmically. And if beta is very big, it grows, for the manifold, it grows faster than logarithmically, like a polynomial. And so you have this breakdown of the small world behavior. And actually, if we have s equal to 1, so you can attach simplices to phase more and more, then the simplices like to be attached always to the same phase, so the diameter is reduced. So you have this structural phase transition driven by these dynamics on top of the structure. How I'm going with time? Okay. Yes, so I want to. So we discussed this problem of emergent space and the fact that actually the non-equilibrium dynamics can lead to this hyperbolic network structure. Of course, this model is not the definitive model. There are possible variations to this structure. So you can have other type of moves, topological moves. So instead of adding, for instance, a tetrahedra only to a phase, you can add to two phases or things like this. Okay? And also, we have played with this model in using regular polytopes, and we found a very interesting effect of the nature of the polytopes in the degree distribution, but the property of the emergent geometries, relatively similar. So here I want to talk about topological percolation, a slightly different tone here, because here I want to show you that actually it's very interesting to look at the effect of dimension. Also, this we have seen in previous models. So the effect of dimension d equal to 3 leads to this emergent scale-free distribution for the manifold. Here, what is the effect of dimension, higher dimension, for topological percolation? So percolation characterizes the connectedness of a network, so the largest cluster in the network, where nodes and links are damaged. But actually, if you have a simplicial complex, you can damage also triangle, trihedra, or so on. So actually, this leads to the definition of topological percolation. So while on a network you have only link or node, so you only damage node or links, in a two-dimensional simplicial complex, you have four percolation problem, and in 3, 6, and in D dimension, you have 2D problem. So for instance, in D equal to 2, you have links are removed with probability Q, and then nodes are connected to nodes through intact links. This is link percolation. Node percolation also very used is nodes are removed with probability Q, and links are connected to links to node. But actually, you can have also triangle percolation, in which triangle are removed with probability Q, and links are connected to links through triangle. Or upper link percolation, in which link are removed with probability Q, and triangle are connected to triangle through links. So we will play with this topological percolation. So what happens if you have a dynamics like classical percolation and you study in higher dimension? So we will play with these hyperbolic simplicial complex that are now growing regularly, and they are growing only in the upper half plane. So here we start with a link, we attach a triangle, and then a triangle to every link arrived at the previous iteration, and so on. And this is like the similar to the D equal to structure of previous. And here we start with the triangle, and then we add the tetrahedra, and then to every triangle added at the previous generation, we add the tetrahedra. And the line graphs are here indicated by this tree. So in particular, this the three-dimensional hyperbolic simplicial complex is very strictly related with the thing we discussed before. So you started with the triangle, you add the tetrahedra, so it's very connected with the Polonian graph, in which you have a triangle and you triangulate with a node in the middle. And this is at the next generation. But interesting, it is also interesting to look at this line graph. So the line graph that we discussed before, this triangle, this tree is associated to each triangle. We discussed before. Here we associate to each link of this graph, we associate a node, and like this. And we link the node if they are belonging to the same triangle. So this in blue is the line graph of this Apollonian graph. And this is actually the first iteration of a Sierpinski gasket. This form is a very well-known fractal. So actually our D equal 3 hyperbolic simplicial complex is like, it is different from the Apollonian graph, because in a tetrahedra you maintain the triangle underneath, the three triangle in the over. So you can think of this as a collection of graph of different iteration. Triangle, Apollonian, a different iteration. And actually, the line graph is a multi-layer Sierpinski gasket. It goes like this. So on this network, we want to study percolation. And percolation in hyperbolic lattices is as this special feature that doesn't have a one percolation threshold, where from no giant component to a giant component spanning the entire cluster. But there are two percolation thresholds, the lower and the upper. The lower, below the lower, there is no infinite cluster. between the lower and the upper, there is in maximum, the maximum cluster is infinite, but it's subextensive. And above the upper, there is a maximum cluster, it's extensive. So we can study for d equal to 2 the topological percolation, and we find that it always discontinuous in d equal to 2. And in most of the cases, it's trivial, so there is percolation only when p is equal to 1, and the giant component goes from 0 to 1. And in link percolation, is the only case that is non-trivial, so it happens at 1 hour. For d equal to 3, instead, can be continuous. And this is for link percolation was known and is connected to the case that percolation, this d equal to 3 hyperbolic simplicial complexes are scale free. So the percolation is 0. And you have typical scaling. But actually, triangle percolation, for instance, that we define in this world, it is continuous and it contains a Berezinski, Kausterlitz, and Tauless transition. So this is highly unexpected given the behavior of d equal to 2. And all the other are discontinuous. So the comments is node and link percolation cannot be used to predict the other topological problems, or we don't have enough tool yet to predict that. And actually, if you look only at dimension d equal to 2, you will see that topological percolation in this hyperbolic lattice is always discontinuous. Instead, in d equal to 3, is continuous, and it can be also BKT. So these results are obtained with some renormalization group technique introduced for the d equal to 2 link percolation problem by Boucher, Seid, and Ziff. So here, practically, you consider the two nodes are the original link, and you ask yourself what is the probability that they are connected at that iteration or any iteration before, and they are connected if there is a link between them, or if there is no link between them, if they are connected by the other links of the other triangle added at the later generation. And this is the easy renormalization group equation for the probability. You can write also for the generating function, and you find this discontinuous. So what we did is for triangle percolation. So now in d equal to 3, so now you have this object in d equal to 3, and you ask yourself these three links. If they are connected by a triangle, they can be connected if there is a triangle there, or if there is a triangle at any other generation that links them, a path to triangles. And you can do the normalization group method. There is a diagrammatic expression for the equation using this multi-layer network. And you find that the transition is of the Berezinski, Kausterlitz, and Tauless with the scalings of the fraction of node in the giant component. So again here, also if you define these dynamics on top of this structure, you find very interesting effect of the dimensionality. So looking at one dimension or the other, or a given in the same simplicial complex, I have a problem at different dimension, it leads to different results. Finally, I want to conclude with another example of the interplay between this hyperbolic network geometry and dynamics. And here we will speak about this complex network manifold, which are these NGF with S minus 1, and we will place on top of this synchronization dynamics. So these are these objects that can be interpreted as d equal to 3 or d equal to 2. And These objects have an interesting property. They, that is revealing their geometrical nature. They're Laplacian, so the matrix that describe diffusion on top of this network have a density of eigenvalue, which reveals a spectral finite spectral dimension. So here this is the community cumulative density of eigenvalue lambda scales like this one. And this is some result. And actually, the spectral dimension numerically is very close to the dimension of the simplicial complex for dimension 2, 3, and 4. So this is a property that is shared also by lattices. Lattices have density, it's another way to say the density of state in a lattice. And but actually, while diffusion on a lattice has eigenmode, which are the Fourier basis, here, so they are totally delocalized in the system. Here, these eigenmode are very localized. So there is we have defined this participation ratio, which evaluates the effective number of nodes on which an eigenmode is localized. And in a network with 10 to the 4 node, we see that there is almost half of the eigenmode which are localized on 100 node or less. So these are very, due to the symmetry of this object, there is many eigenmode that are localized on different part of this graph. And these are the high energy mode. So we define this Kuramoto dynamics because we are interested also in another problem. So this is, you put phase on top of the node, which have an intrinsic frequency, and then there is a coupling between different phase of connected node that tries to align their phases. And the order parameter is this R. It's this, or quantity that goes from 0 to 1, 0 if the phases are all incoherent, and 1 if they are all coherent. So in the fully connected network, there is a clear phase transition between no coherent phase and a coherent synchronization. In this NGF, there is a strong effect of dimensionality. So in dimension d equal to 4, eventually for large coupling between the node, the stationary state is achieved. But for low coupling in a finite system, but for low coupling, there is this very weird fluctuation in time. And in d equal to 3, this phase is even larger, and in equal to 2, it's even more dramatic. So you can do a study of this phase as a function of the network science, and you see that this phase is actually still not thermodynamically stable also in 4 dimension. And we recently have some analytical result showing that, in fact, in order to have a synchronized phase, we need a spectral dimension at least above 4. So here we have this phase in which there are very weird temporal fluctuation of the order parameter. And actually, it's not only temporal fluctuation, but also spatiotemporal fluctuation, because this network have communities, so regions of the graph that are more connected to each other than the rest. So we can define a local order parameter for this community. And this local order parameter can, each community can have a local order parameter that fluctuates at different frequency. So a different frequency, and this is the spectrum. And finally, you can also see the correlation between this local order parameter between different community. And when you cross-grain the system, still you get a correlation matrix that is highly non-trivial, meaning that this frustrated synchronization phase not only has spatio-temporal fluctuation, but have characteristic of what is called a Griffith phase. People have call it Griffith phase, so it kind of extended critical region in the graph. So I reached my conclusion. I wanted to tell you about this model on network geometry with flavor, which provides a fundamental mechanism, very basic, for emergent hyperbolic network geometry. And actually, these structures are ideal to study, to investigate the relation between network geometry and dynamics. And we have found significant effect of the dimensionality and the hyperbolicity of the simplicial complex, the degree distribution of NGF, in the critical property of topological percolation, and in the stability of this synchronized phase. And so I want to finish this talk with acknowledging my collaborator, Christophe Ramede, has been key for work in hyperbolic geometry. I've been working with Robert Ziff in percolation problems quite recently, and this collaboration with Joaquin Torres and Ana Paula Milan for this frustrated synchronization phase. This is another work with PhD student of mine on this polytope. So if you, what happens when you do polytope? And yes, and we have other work on equilibrium statistical mechanics for simplicial. Thank you very much for your attention.
So we have a bit of time for urgent questions.
Just puzzled about the relation with the PKT transition. So you have a T equals three case, right? Mm-hmm. You have the simplices that are three-dimensional, and then you have PKT transition there. But the PKT happens in 2D. So what's the relation there? How should I interpret this? It's just that for some reason they are in the same equivalence class, or there is a physical underlying reason why these two things are connected?
Yes, so this is, first of all, we are in 3D, but in this hyperbolic lattice that can have an interpretation also in 2D. And second, maybe for most important, is that this BKT transition have been found in complex network geometry in other scenario. Also, so it's quite interesting that they emerge there, but it's not in their previous case in which they have been found in network. The interesting fact is that they emerge in 3D for triangle percolation. They are not there in 2D, and I don't know what happens in 4D.
So this is a transition between, say, like one phase with no topological defects and another phase where those topological defects proliferate?
Yeah, the mechanism in which this transition occurs in networks is different from the traditional one, yeah. So, but there have been other cases, similar cases, in which you cannot have the same explanation that the original one.
More questions? So I have one. So this is an abstract model that introduces mm-hmm. certain features and allows you to study dynamics, mm-hmm. Emergence of geometry. But going back to the motivation, for instance, you mentioned Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So did we learn something about an emergent geometry on Facebook?
Well, Facebook may be not, but well, a lot of research in simplicial complex is now driven by brain research. Yeah, so in the brain, and actually this let me see if I have, so there are some experimental results, for instance, from neural culture, that you can put neurons in 2D or in 3D, and the synchronization property are different. Or people like that work in this big project, like the Blue Brain, I have no access to this data set of the Blue Brain, but they study this with simplicial complex. And actually the fact that a node can be part of a simplex might contribute to the dynamics that take place on them in the brain. Yeah. In particular, this frustrated synchronization phase is very interesting from the brain perspective, because you want a brain dynamics that is not stationary. You want spatiotemporal fluctuation, and how this can occur in an also an artificial lattice is something that is very quite
case,
active.
The connections between neurons would be fixed, but we just decide whether we are playing with the weight. The changes over time is the weight.
Yes, the position of the neurons are fixed, like in the model that I presented, but they have a geometrical structure. And then you want to know how, you know, like for neural culture, you can grow in 2D or in 3D, and actually the network change. So you can study the property as a function, how the network change. And also in this network reconstruction, sophisticated network reconstruction method, you want to have tool to characterize what is the relation between the connectome and the actual dynamics. Otherwise, all these projects devoted to the connectome, they have no reason to be built. No, you want the network structure because you want to understand the dynamics.
Right, so if there are no more questions, let's thank Ginesta again.